Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the true story of a New York City boy with big town hopes and small neighborhood dreams of becoming BFFs with the Real Housewives and other Bravo celebrities. Then, one day, that dream actually came true. Let me take you behind the velvet rope. Hi guys, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. We are joined here today by, now we all know that I mess up everybody's last names. I really do. Sometimes I don't, sometimes I do. I'm about to mess up your last name, Jess Zarea.
I haven't heard that one before, but I do have a very difficult last name. Yes, my last name is Persian. I'm obviously not Persian. My last name is Zadeh. So it's like Zadeh.
So I really wasn't close at all.
You got the Z, right?
And that's okay. You know what it is? I can't read my own handwriting. So that's the problem. And you are from the Blonde Unfiltered podcast. We are very happy to have you here.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
How is your podcast going in the times of quarantine?
You know, it's it hasn't really changed for me because I'm used to working from home. The main change is that my husband is now working from home. My office, which used to be a guest room, I converted it into my office / Peloton room, is now our office, and he's just around a lot. And I've been telling people that, like, this was not in our ketubah. It was not in our marriage, like, agreement. He was supposed to be gone from like 8:30 to 6 Monday through Friday, and that hasn't been happening.
So
he's home now, which is why I'm currently coming to you from my master bedroom, because he's supposed to, I don't know what the fuck he's doing, but it's an adjustment. And I personally think, I don't know, maybe you can like sign a petition for me, but I think that I've earned another eternity band just for sticking through this quarantine.
Listen, anyone who is quarantining with anyone else in any capacity, I feel deserves something. I mean, I'm going a little crazy at times from being alone, but every friend I have is like, just be happy you're alone. It's the better of the two options.
Yeah, it's a lot. I've been going for a lot of walks. My poor dogs are like, enough, bitch. Like, we're good. We're walked out. But I've been taking like some drives up the 405 just by myself to listen to music. And, you know,
how is it in LA, in West LA?
I'm in West LA, not anywhere specific. You know, it's interesting because the first couple weeks, the city of Beverly Hills, which is a city it's its own city, it's not part of the city of Los Angeles, they apparently weren't taking it seriously. So it was really funny because the first couple of weeks you could go to like get coffee and stuff, and, you know, everything was kind of the same there. But now, I mean, it's just people are doing a good job. Everyone's like wearing masks and wearing their gloves. Although this week, I was telling my husband, I kind of feel like people are just like over it.
I think so too.
Yeah. Cause we've seen a couple people, actually a lot of people recently, like when we walk the dogs, and like no mask, no anything. And like this morning I went to pick up my groceries at Whole Foods and saw some people just walking on the Whole Foods I went to is on Wilshire Boulevard, and it's walking on Wilshire, just, you know, everything. So I think people are kind of done with it. But
I think so. In New York, I don't know. There's people out in New York too, you know, like more than I think there was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I do. And it's warming up. And I mean, it's different because it's like the governor of California is saying different things than Garcetti, who's the mayor of LA. So it's, I don't know. I think people are just kind of getting over it, and it's getting nice and people are going a little crazy. So
they're over it. Well, speaking of Beverly Hills, since you are in Beverly Hills Ground Zero, I figured we could kind of compare notes. You know, I like to talk about my real life experiences with all these women. And like, let's talk about the show too. You know, like, I'm just curious if you know any of these women, and like, we'll go down the list. And then, because you're, you know, let's not stereotype, but because your husband is Persian, I have had other, you know, I had someone from Shaws of Sunset. Actually, I've had two people from Shaws of Sunset on my show here. And, you know, they both kind of said the same thing of like, no, every single Persian in like basically watches this show. So I also would like to then talk about Shaws of Sunset and see, because your husband is Persian, are these two people that are on the show correct in that every Persian in LA is kind of somehow 10 degrees separated from each other?
Which is not
me being stereotypical. It's just that is what two people have said that came on the show from the Shaws of Sunset.
Oh, yes, 100%. Yes, we can get into that.
So let's start with the Beverly Hills Housewives. Now, first of all, do you watch the show? You don't have to.
Yes, I did. Well, I did. I wasn't sure if I was going to watch it this season, but did I started for work purposes and I was like, okay, I'll watch it. But I will say it's definitely versus like the first two seasons of the show, as I, you know, have gotten to know people, and I do know some of the women and some of the people that have used to be on the show. It's kind of like, it's just not as enjoyable. And it's like, you know, the, you know, real stuff that's going on. And when you hear some of these stories about these women, like in real life or whatever, it's just, it's not as, I guess, fun watching it. But yeah, I have watched this season, and it's, I guess, better than last season. I'm really enjoying Garcelle. I do not know Garcelle. I don't think know anybody that knows her. But I You're am really enjoying her. I'm liking her.
She's a good addition, Garcelle too.
Yeah, for sure. I think she's a really good addition. I'm liking Sutton. I do not know her personally, but I do have a couple mutual friends with her, and asked one of them back a couple months ago when it first came out that she was joining the show, asked her, do you think she'll be good? And she said, well, she has legit money. She has like legit fuck you money. And she's like crazy eccentric, like crazy in a good way, like crazy eccentric. And she actually kind of reminds me of this friend that I have. And I think that she doesn't really give a fuck, you know, she doesn't need the show. So I don't think she's like afraid to speak her mind. So I know a lot of people don't really like Sutton, but I kind of like her because I think that she can put like some of these fake bitches in their place, you know? So.
And what do these people that know her say? Like your friends or your friends of friends? Do they like her?
About Sutton?
Or like as a person?
Well, the girl that knows her the best, or woman, I should say, that knows her the best, she is very good at having that type of friend, like that type of friend that you're really probably not like besties with, close with, but you know, you see at the same events, that kind of thing. And I haven't heard anything bad about her. So yeah. And I think that she can take on these people that have been there a long time, like Kyle, and you know, anyone who listens to my show knows my feelings and thoughts on Kyle. I'm here for it. Someone that can kind of take Kyle and go toe to toe with her and is not intimidated by her.
So we sat down with her. We had her on Behind the Velvet Rope. I really liked her. You know, it's weird. If you Google her net worth, which by the way, that's one of my favorite things to do in the world. You know, that like celebrity. I have friends that are like, it's so not right. But my whole thing is like, if it's one like benchmark and they get everybody wrong, it's still like in relation to everybody else. This is my theory. So it still gives you some indication. But like, for instance, they keep saying Bethany Frankel's worth like $25 million, which I would have thought a lot more.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate those things are. I will say for Sutton, knowing the people that we know in common all have like fuck you money. So that's the crown that she's hanging around with.
So it's obviously not right. It's
No. Something's
Something's wrong.
Also, her second husband works in finance in somewhat the same industry that my husband works in. And I mentioned his name to my husband. My husband was like, oh yeah, he does more than fine.
She's married now. She's not married now, is she?
She's on her second marriage, but I don't think he's going to be in the show.
Okay.
I think he's too like kind of normal to be in the show. But my favorite thing was, so this woman that I know that knows her said, I think she'll do well because she lives on this certain street in Bel Air. And what did she say? She said she has like the legit version of Kyle's old house. And so she goes, Kyle's probably automatically going to hate her because one, she still lives on this side of the hill. And two, she has like the legit version of Kyle's house. So it's like, you know, bigger, better, her old house, not her new one. And that for people that aren't from LA, there's this kind of, not animosity, but like jokingly thing. Like if you're on one side of if you're on the Valley side, it's like, you know, maybe not as nice if you're on like the west side as this side. So
who lives on the west side on the show? Just Sutton, not Vanderpump?
Sutton lives in Bel Air. Vanderpump does. Vanderpump lives in BHPO, which is Beverly Hills Post Office.
That's the real deal.
That's the real deal. Lisa Rinna lives actually in Beverly Hills. And then who else is on the show? Teddy lives in Hollywood. Dorit lives in Encino now.
How's Encino?
Who else? Encino's nice. I mean, Encino's like a nicer part of the Valley. It's a nicer part of the Valley. I'm shocked that she lives there. And I mean, if you want, we can do a deep dive into that whole house thing.
We're going to do a very deep dive into that. Yes.
And I've talked a lot about this on my podcast. I knew Dorit when she first had her first baby. And I talk about all the time on my show. I used to work at this store in West Hollywood on Robertson. And when I knew her, she wore her hair in a chip clip and had a different nose and spoke with a Long Island accent. And she had a B of A red debit card that PK would transfer money into. So she would like pick out everything that she wanted and she'd say, hold it. And then she would like call PK, who was her fiance at the time, and say, can you transfer this much? And then charge it. And then she would have us bring it up to her house, which was the first house that you saw on the show. And
the one that you walked up all the stairs.
Yes. So that used to be Jennifer Lopez's house a million years ago. And then this man, Sam Nazarian, he's the head of SBE. So he owns, you know, like a bunch of clubs and hotels and all that. So he bought the house from J-Lo and he leased the house to Dorit and PK. And so when I knew her, she's like, oh yeah, we're renting this house for a little bit, but we probably won't be here, you know, too long. And they just moved in when I went up to the house and it reminded me of like Teresa Giudice's house, like circa season one of Jersey, when it was like totally empty and there was just like one couch in the middle.
I get it.
Anyway. And so, they rented that house for quite some time. And then the house that they live in now, also is owned by the same conglomerate. And apparently, Dorit came up with a new LLC that is partial owner that bought in, I think, 20% of the house. And so her LLC is, that name is on some of the documents. But there's also
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water, and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
They don't flat out own this one either. So I'm choosing my words very carefully. But
they don't rent it.
They pay a monthly amount to the company that owns it. And
I'm very confused. I'm very confused.
Okay, so I'll try. So the company,
I mean, I thought there was only three things. You either buy a house in cash, you go and get a mortgage and you put down whatever, you know, it's $6 million I like to throw around on the show. So if you put down $2 million, you have a mortgage $4 million, or you pay your $40,000 a month in rent. I didn't think there was any option for it.
Yes. So the company that owns it, it's in the same, under the same umbrella of the person that they were renting their house from before. And they also, do residential development. And this company was developing, I think, four houses on that same street in Encino. And this was the first one that was done. So this one, that number, like it was 6 million. I don't know where the fuck they got that number. It was never even on the market. And so I had my husband look into this. So that's all I know. But anyway, so that, they own the house because they developed it, right? So there's an agreement. I don't know. I can send you the document if you want. There's an agreement that
Why not? Send
this
it along.
This is the company that owns the house, right? So just like you can put a piece of property into a trust and then there are different, you know, people's names on it. That's kind of what it is. And she took out like an LLC that anyone can do and bought in 20% of the property. So yes, her company owns that percentage, but then they pay a lesser amount of rent to the company that owns it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And but there's
a
reason.
It's a complicated situation, it sounds like.
Yeah. And there's a reason why no one's individual name is on the house. There's a reason why there's, you know, an LLC on the house, not their individual name.
And why is that? And why is that?
My husband and his brother-in-law have a company. They work in finance, and his brother-in-law's family is very close with the Nazarian family. And so my husband's brother-in-law has actually told me a lot about PK's past, which is quite checkered.
That's what it seems.
Yeah. So apparently he left his wife in the UK and came here and rented a house in Santa Monica from another Persian guy. And this is a good lesson for people. If you ever are renting property from a Persian person, like, don't skip out on your rent because they will hunt you down and find you and take you to small claims. That did not go well. So then it just kind of snowballed and he filed bankruptcy, but then it's a whole thing. You can go to my Patreon if you want to hear the story. But he and some other people may have been involved in some business in the Middle East. And that's how he kind of got in with this group of people. And so I just haven't heard good things. And then like last year, oh, this was really funny. Last year, you know, the Beverly Beach office that they had, that was actually in my husband's office building, one floor below their office. And they were subleasing this office for, I don't know how many months it was, but they were supposed to, so the same company that owns the office building also owns their house. So they were supposed to pay X amount in rent to sublease the office. And I don't think that ever happened. So, but it's really funny because after they finished shooting those scenes for Beverly Beach, I made my husband go down to that office and I was like, what does it say now? And he sent me a picture of the door and it just says like for rent, you know, this leasing space. So it's just, it's a lot of
smoke and mirrors. So in other words, it's not Sutton Strack, fuck you money.
No, that's the sense
I'm getting from you. And I mean, it's great that I have no interest except for like what someone's worth. Like there's something very wrong with me. But okay, so now, and well, let me just say, you know, my situation with Dorit is I went to high school with Dorit.
Right.
High school.
You told me. So you saw her a couple noses ago.
It was, listen, it was not the same.
I said that, not you.
And there was dark hair. I mean, which, okay, we all color our hair, but dark hair. Right. And yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't this accent. That's, I mean, we're
it
from...
It wasn't this accent.
We're from, like, listen, I even have more of a New York accent now than I did because I went to high school in Connecticut. Like, I grew up between the city and Connecticut, but if there's a chance to go to, like, thing about Connecticut is you're kind of, well, you know, you're from Connecticut.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you grow up, unless you're in a inner city in Connecticut, you don't need to go to private school. Public schools are really good.
Yeah.
So
it's very suburban.
Yeah. So, but there was no accent. I mean, it's Connecticut people. I mean, I have an accent a little bit now when I drink, it's like a New York accent, but it's
right.
So I don't know where that comes from. But what about, so talk to me, because it doesn't seem like you enjoy Kyle very much. I'm sensing.
No, I do not enjoy Kyle very much. I do not enjoy.
I really don't know. Like, but I'm just sensing this.
Oh, no, I really do. I mean, I have a lot of stories about Kyle and a lot of stories about her husband. But I mean, we'd be on the phone for like 5 hours. But actually... My God. Our mutual friend, Megan, who may be listening to this, Megan's heard some of my Kyle stories. But no, I mean, from way, way, way back in the day, like when the show first started, she was a client of mine at that same store. And I mean, I didn't like her then, because she was just very entitled and she would like pull up in the loading zone on Robertson and she would like run in and I mean, kind of like acted like she was Oprah, which I'm sure Oprah doesn't even act like that. But, a lot similar, like smoke and mirrors kind of situation. But one of my, I think the time where I was like, oh, I really don't like this bitch was, when she came in to buy a gift for someone and the gift was ready, whatever, and she had called before and gave me her credit card. And so she was coming to just come in and pick it up. And she came in to pick it up and she's like, I'm here, I'm picking it up, I'm in a hurry, whatever. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But little problem, your card didn't go through. And she's like, oh, well, that's a mistake. Try it again. I'm like, I'm telling you, like this here, I printed out the thing, like it's not going through. And she was like, oh, well, I don't know what's going on with that. And so she takes out the same card and she's like, here, try it again. And I'm like, I'm telling you, it's not right. She's like, will you just try it? She's a huge bitch about it. And so I tried it again. I'm like, it's coming up declined. Like, what do you want me to do? And she was like, well, what did you do? I'm like, I didn't do anything. Like, call your card, whatever. Yeah. So, and this is the thing. I worked with this guy, George, who could be a little bit snarky and bitchy. And sometimes that would rub off on me. And sometimes we would maybe like make fun of people for their credit cards. I'm not saying it's great karma, but you know, we were bored.
You looked for the black card, didn't you? You wanted to see a black card.
I wanted to see a black card. And unfortunately, what was pulled out was a green card.
You were not impressed.
I mean, At that point in my life, like I had a gold Amex and I was living in an apartment in WeHo. So
what is with these people? I mean, I don't know how much Dorit, I'm just going back to that. I don't know how much Dorit bought, but I mean, normally when I leave a store, I carry all my clothing and bags with me.
Oh, well, okay, I will give Dorit one on this. This happened to be a baby store. So okay, we sold, yeah, that, I mean, we also sold like baby Dior and baby Fendi and like, you know, ridiculous clothes too. But she was buying stuff that was like a little bit.
Okay, fine.
You know, bigger. So we'll, you know, we'll give her that.
Fine. Was your beginning of, and now.
That was the beginning of my relationship with Kyle. Did not leave a great taste in my mouth. And then, you know, just living in this specific little neighborhood, you know, you hear things over the years. I mean, I don't even know where to go next, but I will say I saw her last summer. I ran into her with a mutual friend of ours, and my friend and I were at SoulCycle, and I came in late to the class, which I'm usually like late to everything, but I'm working on it. Anyways, I came into late to the class, so I didn't realize this, but at the end of the class, we're stretching and I go like this and look behind me, and Kyle happened to be sitting one row behind us, right behind my friend. And, I can say who the friend is because whatever. I've talked about this with her on the show. So I was with my friend Eden, who was on Beverly Hills, I think like 3 or 4 years ago.
Let's just take a minute and clarify Eden Sassone.
Yes, Eden Sassone.
Who's a very good friend of yours, we all know and love very well.
Yes. And
I have my own Eden story for you afterwards.
You do?
I have an Eden story for you.
That's so funny.
It's all nice. She's your best friend, but I'll tell you. I mean, I can tell you on air, but we'll talk about it afterwards.
So Eden and Kyle's sister have a past. And let's just say Kyle's sister and Eden's sister, who's no longer with us, have quite a past.
And we saw some of that on the show during that season I think.
That sounds right. Yeah. And you saw some of it on the show, but like with a lot of things, there's a lot that people don't know. And there's a lot, you know, it's not my thing to talk about. So anyway.
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to talk about it?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that being said, Eden is still very like friendly to everybody and you know, whatever. So we're stretching and I turned back and I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking Kyle. And then I looked at Eden and I was like, look, it's Kyle. And so of course, Eden, and this is after class is done. Like the lights are on. We weren't interrupting class or anything. So Eden turns around and she's like, oh my God, hi. And Kyle literally goes, I mean, you and I are on video chat, so you can see my face, but Kyle, and this is, I mean, a normal expression for her, but she's just like kind of a, what would you say that is? Like a smirk, like kind of a,
I could, you know what the crazy sick fucking thing is? I could actually picture Kyle's face.
Her face too.
Doing that. Like, and I'm not even
totally
knocking.
She totally is. She's just like, yeah. Hi. And he's like, how are you? Like, how's everything? How's your family? Whatever. And she's like, great. And Ian's like, well, we should catch up. Like, we should do lunch sometime or whatever. And Kyle's like, oh, yeah, do you still have your, like, Pilates thing up at the Glen? And Eden has two Pilates studios. And Eden was like, yeah, still have the Pilates studio. And Eden's like, I know you're up there all the time. We should have lunch or whatever. And Kyle was just kind of like, And then we were all walking out, and this particular SoulCycle, there's two exit doors, and we were all like kind of walking out, we thought together, and Eden turned around. Oh, wait, I'm forgetting a part. Eden looked at Kyle, the three of us are standing there, and she goes, you know my friend Jess? And Kyle goes, just kind of like, whatever, very dismissive. And anyways,
you were beneath her.
Oh, for sure. For sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And then Kyle like ran out the other exit door. But since then, I have encountered Kyle many times up at the Glen. We go to the same pharmacy, and let's just say she's not one to hold doors, or, you know, if she is in a rush, she will run over you with that Range Rover in the parking lot. She doesn't care if you're walking through the street, just watch the fuck out. And she's just very dismissive. And this goes for whether I'm by myself or when I've been with Eden. And what I've noticed with her, and this is over the past however many years I've, you know, encountered her in many places, what I've noticed with her is she's very aware when she's being, in like whether she's in a more public setting or not. So, you know, if she knows she's being filmed or if she knows someone's taking her picture, there's a pretty sizable change in demeanor and presence and all of that. And that is one of the things like I can't stand, whether you're a public persona or not. I think that's bullshit. I think who you are, you should be nice to everyone, unless they're an evil person. But yeah, so that is, yeah, there's a lot of like, I don't buy it. That being said, her husband is one of the nicest people you'll ever encounter. Maybe really? Too nice, but yeah, but he, I mean,
too nice. Yeah, what does that mean?
He's just very friendly.
Are you saying he hit on you, friends of yours?
No, okay. never on me. I'm not really his type. But yeah, let's just say it's a kind of what I've come to know is that it's kind of a known thing, around here. And it's just, I don't even think it's that uncommon. I was actually talking to my girlfriend who I was telling you before the show that, well, now I'm going to tell the whole podcast universe that even though we are in quarantine, I'm sorry, but it's Cinco de Mayo and I'm having a girlfriend over and we're going up to my roof deck. We're going to have margaritas. But this particular girlfriend of mine, she happens to be like in the same professional circle that maybe Real Kyle's estate. Husband is.
Is it Tracy adjacent. Tudor Malice?
No, it is not. But yeah, but she's told me lots of stories and apparently like according to her, everyone kind of knows. And
really? Which is very opposite from what we see on the show. We see a nice Kyle to the world, not necessarily the other girls. And we see a Mauricio who only has eyes for her. So this is news.
Before we continue this conversation, I have to say this has certainly been quite a year. And if there's anything interfering with your happiness or achieving your goals, I cannot recommend BetterHelp enough. It is an online professional counseling service. And as a result of me turning to BetterHelp, I was able to take the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast and go from 2 to 4 episodes a week. And I even wrote a Behind the Velvet Rope book. So BetterHelp is great. It's a safe and private online environment. You don't have to leave your house, go to a waiting room. It's quarantine friendly. Of course, everything is extremely confidential, and you can basically start communicating with a professional in under 24 hours. And what I love about it is once you're assigned a counselor, you can reach out to this counselor anytime and they actually get back to you. And you can schedule your weekly phone or video session, no need to get glammed up if you prefer phone over video, at your convenience. Also, once you're assigned a counselor to help you, if you don't like who you're assigned, you can easily switch the person. So many people are turning to BetterHelp that they're actually looking for counselors in all 50 states. They're growing rapidly. And listen, don't take my word for it. Check out their testimonials posted daily on their website. They deal with a variety of issues: depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, anger, self-esteem. I cannot recommend BetterHelp enough. It's an online professional counseling service. And go to BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/velvetrope, and you get 10% off your first month. That's better help.com/velvetrope, and you get 10% off your first month. They are there to help. I feel there's nothing wrong with admitting you need help, especially in these times. It is more affordable than traditional online counseling. They've really helped me see clarity, gain strength to continue doing this wonderful show for you all. BetterHelp, help.com/velvetrope.
The funny thing is, though, is like, I don't think it is to a lot of people, but yeah, to a lot of people around here, I guess. Because when it's,
I think it's the same of like me. Listen, I think you probably have the relationship to watching, like when we started the Beverly Hills Housewives, like I do to New York and New Jersey. It's like, mm-hmm. I know them. I know too much. And so I watch, but I know so many things that are going on in real life or how people are in real life. I'm just like, mm-hmm. you love this person and yet they are a total fucking miserable human being,
right,
that I would not want to be friends with for all the money in the world. I fucking hate this.
Totally.
So I think you
have that. Yeah, totally. Well, that, and I just have no respect for like, for people that are that fake, right, or trying to present something that you're like really not. And listen, I'll just say this, okay? In my personal opinion, and I have found this to be pretty true, I think over the years, is when I see people that are like, oh my God, I have the best marriage. My husband's amazing. We never fight, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's usually a load of shit, you know? Like,
well, same with like Instagram. When like you have like every
totally
picture, two of you fucking in love, you're like, give me a break.
Right.
There's like if the gay I ever guys on Instagram that do that.
I would never do that. Yeah, write like a diatribe about like, oh my God, you're my soulmate, you're the best person. Like, I'm sorry, my husband, I want to kill him like 8 times a day. I'm not saying like we have the best marriage ever. Of course, I think everything's a worst in progress. But yeah, there's a lot of like, blah.
What about Kyle's sister? Do you know Kim? Do you ever see her? I mean, I've only met her once. I've only met her once.
Oh no, I did see her up years ago up at the Glen, and it was,
but not like you see Kyle. It seems like you see Kyle the most.
No. I see Kyle a lot because she's up kind of at the same little area. I see Lisa Rinna a lot.
How's Lisa Rinna? Is she nice to you?
Oh, she's lovely. We actually go to the same Soul Cycle class. Well, not in quarantine, but we used to. And she is just as she is on the show, like laughs. I've run into her at the juice place next door with Eden sometimes too. And she's lovely. She's high, smiles.
She's nice to Eden.
Just as you would. Yeah, they're fine. They're fine. And Eden would even tell you the same thing. You know, Lisa's good at her job. She's very good at her job.
Yes.
I sat down
with an ex-Beverly Hills housewife on the show. Let's not mention names yet because it's going to come out. But, I mean, she'll come on the show. She said the same thing. She wasn't even knocking it. She was just like, Lisa Rinna, this is the best job she's ever had. Like, she's made for this.
Oh, yeah. She's great at it. And she, you know, she and her husband, we go on the same, like, hiking trail all the time. Her husband, nicest guy you'll ever meet. Lovely, like no creeper vibes, like some of the husbands. One of their daughters actually way back in the day used to work at the deli up at the Glen Center. And
the kids learned the way of life.
Yeah, I haven't seen her daughters in a very long time, but years ago I used to see them either up at the Glen or like at Rite Aid, and they were not, I mean, like, my husband's niece lives in Calabasas and she's like the brattiest little bitch you'll ever meet. But her girls were, I never experienced them being like bratty or whatever. So no, I honestly don't have anything bad to say about Lisa. She's always delightful and funny and yeah.
What about Miss Jane Girardi? Have you ever met her, seen her?
I've never met Erica Jane or Erica Girardi. However, one of my good friends who was in my wedding, her parents, who are, so my girlfriend's parents, who are still together, were really good friends with Tom and his first wife. And her dad is still kind of in touch with Tom, and her mom is still friends with Tom's first wife. And so the only thing I've ever really heard about her from this friend is that she was very shocked when she first came on the show, because that was not how she knew her. It was like a very, like, she, they would see them at the same, they'd go to the same club and see them at, you know, like whatever stuff. And she was like, wow, that is not the same woman I've seen for the last however many years. But
does Erica, yeah. 'Cause there's been mixed things. Does Erica, from what you know, from people that know her, does she have, here I go again. Does she have fuck you Sutton money? That might be my new saying in life.
Do you fuck you Sutton money?
Yeah.
I love the term fuck you money.
I love it too.
She individually, or she and her husband?
I think they're a pair at this point. I think she's getting everything. So I think her and her husband, there's no divorce coming.
No, I don't think there's a divorce coming, but from what I've heard about her husband, he is a very smart and cautious businessman. So I think that he's, I mean, I think they're, I don't know if I would, see, this is the thing. I, from what I've heard about him, he's doing fine. He's not hurting, but he's,
Aaron Brockovich maybe, money is no fucking joke.
No, that's no joke. But from what I've heard is he's maybe not as ostentatious and flashy as maybe like a Sutton is.
So he has money. He's just keeping it a little more reserved.
Yeah. And then, I think
because I thought they had a shitload of money, just because, again, I go back to Aaron Brockovich. Like, I don't think you need to do much more after that. But then you read all these things, like they're being sued and this, like you read shit. There's been shit about them lately.
Yeah, there's been shit about them. And I don't know how much is of them, is that them personally or his, because he has his own practice.
Right.
Or is him, you know, in a business sense. So I just, from what I've heard, they're fine. But I think maybe she has more of like a structured agreement than she lets on.
An allowance is what you're saying.
Maybe.
Okay. We just love to define things around here. Okay. So an allowance, which I assume goes to close or maybe the whole tour. Listen, I went to the Pretty Mess tour.
Oh, did you?
Honey, one of my biggest regrets in life is that I only went twice. If I had to do it over again, mind you, it was only like 6 days. Here's the problem. It was only 6 dates and it was during December. So who really can travel?
Oh.
Like you don't even understand.
Yeah.
I like get on airplanes like and summer. Travel all around the world. Like I would literally fly to like San Francisco to go see the Pretty, like I'm insane. Right. But it was during December and the dates were announced like November 1st. So I'm like, this is, but
I
still,
why they did it during December.
Well, I would like to know myself, but I did only go twice and I was so drunk one of them that I don't really remember it. So I really only saw it once, but I mean, that ain't no allowance. That must be on the side. 'Cause that shit for the 45 minute segment of the performance costs a lot of fucking money. I mean, there was,
well, I mean, she also has her own income now too, you know,
which I would say is around $1 million, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, if half that goes to taxes, it's probably like, you know,
right. That's not enough for Erica 500. Jane Girard. That's not enough for her.
Yeah. Well, even like for a regular person making $500,000, you're in LA is probably the equivalent of making like 200 everywhere else. I mean, it's
except New York City. You know,
except, yeah. Except New York City.
You know, like yeah, we have
exactly.
It. All right, so Erica, who else is there?
Who else
I mean,
is on the show?
Well,
oh, Teddy.
I was just going to say, there's that other woman that they call Teddy. I forgot. she was there. You're making a face.
Yeah.
Does that mean she bores you, or does that mean you know her in real life and you're not a fan?
All of the above.
Okay.
I did Teddy's program.
Oh, I'm on the email because I almost went to a weekend retreat that was on my list. Honey, this is behind the velvet rope. Oh. If I don't deliver content here 24 hours a day, all these lovely listeners are going to take me out back and shoot me. So when I get on airplanes 24 hours a day, but yes, guys, it never happened, but Teddy was having one of those weekend things. And I was going to
Which one were you going to go to? The one at the Montage?
I think it was in your backyard. Yeah.
Well, was it at the Montage here or the Montage in Laguna? I don't know.
Do you think I made the distinction? All I knew I was going to have to get on an airplane for either the OC or whatever it was right near you compared to 3,000 miles away. And I think there was something that said about women. And I think I wrote to them because I usually go to the things that are all women, really. I went to Bloomingdale's to a bra thing to to have another moment with Bethany. Literally, I was the only guy there. And she's like, yeah, I like know you. Come on.
I love it.
Just take your picture.
Oh, man, it's so funny.
I was going to go to this, but I think I emailed or something and they're like, it really is women only. Whatever this particular one.
Okay. I think I'm still on the email list too. I think I may have seen that. And I was like, I am not paying fucking $600 to go down to the Montage. Yeah. Well, her program's a lot of money too. I'll just say, I told my husband that it was $250, but it was not. I did her program, which initially before I did it, and this was, I want to say it was like the summer after her first season on the show, ran into her and Kyle. Oh, this is another Kyle story. Ran into her and Kyle at SoulCycle, and it was after class. And I had applied to her program, but I did not get in. I got rejected.
I didn't realize that was possible.
Oh, yeah. I got rejected and I got this really bitchy rejection email. And so I saw we were in like the locker area after class and I saw Teddy and I was like, hey, Teddy, like, can I ask you a question about your program? And she was like, yeah. And so the only Kyle part is that Kyle was with her and they were like this, like attached at the hip. And Kyle was not happy that I was talking to her friend. And she kind of went over in the corner next to the water fountain and crossed her arms and she had her baseball hat on and she was acting, you know, like she was in witness protection because like, yeah, you're a fucking SoulCycle in West Hollywood. No one fucking cares. Okay.
Right.
Anyways, she was not happy that I was talking to Teddy. She had a major puss on her face. Anyways, so I told Teddy, I'm like, hey, you know, I applied to the program, but I got this like really bitchy email and it said X, Y, and Z. And she was like, oh, well, have you ever had an eating disorder? And I said, yeah, for 30 years. And this is before she came out on the show and said that she had an eating disorder. And she was like, don't worry. She's like, I have the same thing too. She's like, all you have to do is we just need a note from your doctor saying like, it's okay for you to do the program. And so she said, that's why you were rejected. And she said, just email this person back and say that you talked to me and whatever, and then you can get in. So I did email that person back and I did get into the program and I got paired with a coach who, let's just say has a similar romantic situation to Carrie Duber's. Were we talking about that on my podcast or yours? We're talking about that on my show.
Yes, guys. Yeah, I was a guest on Blonde Unfiltered, which everyone needs to listen to.
Yes.
When you're done listening to Behind the Velvet Rope, there's plenty of time in the day. And then you go listen to our friend Megan's Bravo Happy Hour.
You can go on all of them. What was I going to say? So anyways, yeah, I got paired with this coach that I didn't really relate to because she was tall. I'm 5'8", and my coach, I think, was 5'10", she said. And my coach, her beginning weight was like 155, and she's 5'10". And then she got down to like 118. And I was like, yeah, sorry, I can't really relate to that because you like were great. You had a great body to be. And she sent me her before and afters, and her before was like my goal. And then her after is like, basically she's just like emaciated. So I'm like, yeah, sorry, I can't really relate to that. Anyway, so I did the program for 2 weeks and I lost like 10 pounds in 2 weeks, which I wasn't really that excited about because, and anyone who's struggled with an eating disorder, you can relate to this. Like I can lose 10 pounds in like 5 days if I do, you know, certain things. So it wasn't really that exciting. And the meal plan was kind of bullshit. Just going to say, and there were just a lot of things wrong with it. And I felt like it kind of reinforced eating disorders. Anyway, and then we had a vacation planned right after I did the 2 week jump start. And so I asked my coach, like, well, what do I do when I go on vacation? And she said, well, you know, you should follow the plan. And when you get back, if you are the same weight or less, you can continue on to month. But if you are up, then you have to do the 2 weeks all over again. And I was like, sure, I'm going to go to Punta Mita and just have soup and for dinner every night and no alcohol. Like, sure, it's fine. Yeah, that did not happen. And so I came back and gained all the way back and then some because my body was like,
I'm done with the program.
Done. So then I ran into Teddy a couple months later and it was at like a more of a professional event. And I was like, hey, I have a question. Like if I want to do the program again, like, can I maybe have a different coach? Like, she's like, well, what was the problem with the coach that you had? I was like, well, I just didn't feel like we really gelled and, you know, told her the whole thing. And I was like, I'm thinking that maybe, you know, whatever X, Y, and Z could be better. And she looks at me and I'll try and do my best Teddy impression. And she looks at me and she goes, the coach is just the coach. That really sounds like a you problem and something that maybe you need to look at yourself because the coach has nothing to do with it. And I was like, okay.
You're like,
and then she told me, she goes, by the way, didn't you only do the program for 2 weeks and then go on vacation or something? And I was like, bye, bitch.
Although it's shocking that she knew. That's pretty.
I was pretty impressed by that. But
what about, so then quickly just to change gears, like just give us the highlights. Is this true that all the Persians are 5 degrees of separation in LA? Like these two people that were on the show before, I get DMs that I'm racist or whatever else everyone's going to say. There were two actual Persians from Shots of Sunset that came onto the show and sat with me and said, we all know each other and every Persian person that's ever existed watches our show. How does your husband feel about seeing it?
The first part of that I would say is absolutely 100% true. If you are talking about Persians in LA, because most of the Persians in LA came here around the same time. My husband did go to high school in college with a few of the ones on the show.
So he went to Beverly.
West Beverly Hills.
Yeah, sorry.
Beverly Hills High School, which you might be able to see out my window.
I like it.
West Beverly was from 90210. But yeah, Beverly, the high school. My husband did not go to Beverly. He went to an adjacent high school that some of them went to. But there is this divide between, that I didn't even know until, so I went to UCLA and I had a Persian boyfriend in college. And I didn't know this because, you know, growing up in the suburbs in Connecticut, I grew up in an environment where like everyone was the same and everyone was equal. And I never experienced anti-Semitism or anything like that. And there's this kind of divide between the Persians that live on the west side, like Brentwood, Beverly Hills, Century City, most of whom are all Jewish. And then there's the Persians that live on the valley side, most of whom are Muslim. And I didn't understand this animosity between them. And now, you know, after hearing lots of stories and, you know, whatever, I've kind of understand it more. But my husband and I, I remember when we were first dating and we walked down Beverly Drive and he's like, oh, that's my cousin. I went to high school with them, whatever. So that part, is true. Most of the Persians in this area they're probably related or they're cousins. I always joke that my husband has 82 cousins. The part that every Persian watches their show, I don't know about that because my husband will watch the show with me, but from just...
Does he like it?
I mean, kind of like The Housewives, it's fun to watch it with him because I love his commentary. And so it's very, you know, watching it with him, he'll be like, oh my God, that's total bullshit. Or what? Or this season with Mike and his girlfriend, I did a deep dive on my Patreon about Mike's current girlfriend who I heard about like a year ago at a Shabbat dinner, actually. And that is a fucking story. And that's a very interesting dynamic.
You're going to have to come back on and do like
Yes, I will come back on that. But the Persians, especially like my father-in-law's generation, I think are very embarrassed of the show. And I think that there's definitely that, like if I went to a Shabbat dinner and I was like, did you guys watch Shaws of Sunset? They would be like, ew.
Not like your husband knows like Gigi, Mercedes, Reza, none of that.
He knows Reza. We both do. I ran into him not that long ago. He knows Mercedes, he knows MJ and Golnessa just like from living in LA forever, but not like friendly with him.
It's a little shocking what's happening, like Reza and MJ. I mean, 30 years.
Yes and no. I will say in regards to that, I think, you know, you were talking about earlier about some people that come on the show and they get very caught up in this persona and the hype of it. And I think that that is kind of maybe what's happened there.
I could totally see that. Do you think that from who? Reza or MJ? All of the above?
I mean, both. Yeah, all of the above. But I definitely, from what I've heard from, you know, people around, my husband's 40, so I guess not quite Reza's age, but him and his cousins, one of his cousins told me this. One of his cousins who did go to Beverly with Reza, it said that when he was in high school, when Reza was in high school, this one guy's opinion, he said he kind of viewed him as, like, he didn't really fit in anywhere because I think at that point he hadn't come out yet and he was probably still struggling with that. And then he's also half Jewish, half Muslim. And most of the Persians in Beverly Hills are all Jewish. So I think that was maybe a struggle. And this person's opinion was that instead of taking that experience and maybe doing something, I don't know, maybe more positive with it, he's kind of taking it and flipping it and he's maybe exacerbated everything. And it's like, oh, well, I didn't fit in then, but like, look at what I can do now. If that kind of makes sense.
That makes 1,000,000,000% sense to me. It does.
Yeah.
That makes sense. No, I mean, I get it. Well, Ali Ashuri is very hot. The one who got the water thrown on him. That's all.
I have never heard of him or seen of him in my life. And I am watching this season with my husband, maybe, you know, forcing him to watch it with me, whatever, it's fine. And I did ask my husband, whenever a new person comes on who I don't know, I'm always like, do you know, like, who is that? And my husband was like, I don't know who the fuck that is. So I don't know. My husband's not really into hot men, but
that makes sense.
Yeah, that was all he.
Or hot gay men that just appear out of nowhere on Shaws of Sunset. Anyone, and I know who you know, I'm going to ask you quickly before we have to go. One of my queens, Miss Tracy Tudor Malice, who I mentioned before. Anyone know her over there? You have any experience with her?
My best friend does, know her in a professional sense.
I sat down with her for an interview. Professional interview.
She didn't. I mean, she did. She's never told me anything negative about her in a professional sense. Although she did alert me to something that I don't know if everyone is aware of, but I mean, you can fucking Google it. So my good friend who's in that kind of circle, her assistant, told her this little piece of information about Tracy. One, they were at some open house party or whatever. They were filming it for the show, actually, I guess. And, for $1 million listing. And, this, my girlfriend's assistant was like, "Girl, have you seen her movie?" And my girlfriend was like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, okay.
And then we're go on.
If you Google Tracy Tudor adult film, it will come up.
Oh my God. And the thing is, we're going to have to go into this more next time, because also, like, when Million Dollar Listing comes back on the air, we need to spend some more time on this. Well, I'm putting this on your let's yes. talk about this next time, because I know you have connections to some of the others too that I need to yes. spend more time on that. This was really mostly about the Beverly Hills Housewives. And anyone, do you know anyone from, I'm sure you don't even watch this show, I watch it, Married to Medicine, LA, Dr. Amani, Shanique, Jasmine.
I don't think I know anyone. I've never watched the show though, but maybe I should.
I didn't think you did. We've had people from there on this lovely podcast. First season, you missed 8 episodes. Now we're on the second season. You only missed
It's only 8 episodes? Oh, but I could catch up. That's not long.
It's a nice little show. I could tell you 2 people not to pay attention to. They don't come back this season. But like, if you really want, you could just sleep.
Yeah, I could catch up on that. What kind of doctors are they?
Dr. Amani is a psychiatrist. Dr. Noel, I think, is like she's an anesthesiologist.
Okay.
It's a very misleading title because we're not all doctors. Jasmine Johnson is a doctor's wife.
Okay.
We have 2 people that didn't come back, so you don't need to know them. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. There's only 5 girls, so you can focus.
Got it. Okay.
And the two new girls have been on 1 episode, and I can't tell you anything about them because I just saw it and they barely had any. And then there's this girl, Shanique, who is a doctor's wife, I think. It's really just about Jasmine and
Dr. Do we know where in LA they live?
No, but Jasmine's husband, Jasmine is definitely Bel Air, I believe, or Beverly Hills. And she has a rental investment property, which she talked about on this Behind the Velvet Rope. And we just saw it on the first episode. It's like a concierge service. And this fucking property, like, I guess if you're coming to town, you can stay there and they do everything for you. I don't really understand the difference. Like, yeah, like you can get like anything, but like the house is fucking gorgeous. So Google that.
Nice. Well, yeah, maybe I'll catch up on that.
And right before we wrap up for 2 seconds, I mean, really, we have to have you back on for a much longer episode, because next time you come, I need to spend 45 minutes just talking about Eden and that friendship. But very quickly, any experience with LVP?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You know what, then? Yeah.
We could save it for another. Yeah,
save it. I'm going to do a whole. Yeah, just save it. Save it.
Because we'll save that. LVP and Ken.
Okay.
Well, I used to see Ken all the time. Ken and I were buds.
We'll talk about that next time. You know, maybe this is something new I should do. I should start leaving a little nugget for people or something.
You should. You should. You should. You should leave a little hors d'oeuvre or a little, you know, amuse-bouche.
And I'm going to have more questions for you next time about, like, everything you just said, I could have spent 3 hours on. Like, Kyle alone, Dorit alone, like, this is...
It's a journey. It's a journey.
It's a journey.
And you know, once quarantine is done and opens up again, I'll probably have more encounters.
You know what? It might have to happen before you give everyone your information. When this is over, I might have to have my producers contact your people. You might have to be our West Coast correspondent. We might have to put you on the payroll. Seriously, we might have to create a position here.
I can be bought by Santa Margarita Pinot Grigio.
Seriously, we might have to send you a case of that because we have eyes on the ground. This is. My wheels are turning here.
Send me a case. Yeah.
My wheels are turning. Anytime you want to know something about Ramona or Dorinda off the record, you just text me, baby. I've got you. Okay, so where can everybody find you on Instagram?
Yes, you can find my Instagram. I'm not going to lie. It's like not that great. But it is @blonde_unfiltered. And my podcast is Blonde Unfiltered. And you can find it anywhere you listen to this one.
And your podcast is diverse. It's not, you talk about a lot of
Yeah, my podcast
things.
Is not just about, my podcast used to be called The Real Housewives of the West Side and was more just about this kind of stuff, my encounters with, you know, the housewives and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I talk about everything. I talk about, I'm really into, not to steal Bethany's line, but you know, I mentioned it all. I'm really into talking about mental health and, you know, my personal struggles with food and, relationships and my mother, who's borderline narcissistic. That's a real fun ride. And yeah, I talk about a lot of, you know, marrying into a Persian family, and I talk about Judaism and kind of everything around the board. So yeah, it's just, you know, hodgepodge of everything.
People need to check it out. And if I ever decide to have a life and branch out of the Bravo world, like one day when I'm older, I'm going to have a life. I want to be you, like when I grow up.
So it's not that, you know, it's just a lot of, you know, watching Lifetime and, you know, that's it.
I get it. We really appreciate you coming on. You're really going to come back. We're going to book you.
Oh my God. Of course. What am I doing? Especially in quarantine? Like,
and I'll come back on yours.
I'm looking at my one eye. We were just talking about Botox. And I'm like, shit, my eye's falling. I need to get this Botox situation rectified.
I can't even, like, I have bags. And like, don't even look at me. I look horrible. But everyone, thank you. You know, for me, you can find me at David Yontef. You can find me at Behind Velvet Rope. And if you go to Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple and you like it and you listen, it's most of what we need. But remember, leave a write-up. Leave a 5-star write-up. It wouldn't hurt you.
Leave a review. Don't be an asshole. Don't write anything like shitty.
I know. It's like,
be a good person.
And you know what my thing is? What I say to people is, when you've done your podcast and you can do as good or almost as good or better, you can leave me a shitty review. For everyone who thinks that we just turn on a fucking microphone and talk, guys, this is such hard work. You have no fucking clue how hard it is. Right?
Yeah, same. If you want to start your own podcast and get stellar perfection audio quality, then you can comment about my audio quality. Until then,
everyone's a critic, right? Everyone's a fucking critic. So I love you dearly. I'll like text you later when you're on your roof having your margaritas. Love
you. Yeah. Love you too. Have a good night.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review. Because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones. And the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.